Amen. Thank you for that song. It's beautiful. Consuming, Lord. Amen. Would you turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 34, the 34th Psalm, if you would turn there with me tonight in your Bibles. Psalm 34. We will begin our reading in verse 1, and we will read verse 1 down to verse 14 as we look at the scriptures together tonight. I was able to see the new building today, had a nice tour. Brother Ogden is a great tour guide, and so he did a great job and showed us everything, and it looks beautiful, and I'm very excited for all of you, and I know that's been a long time waiting, and it's great to see what God has done and what He's going to do, and that's an amazing thing, so we certainly praise the Lord for that. Psalm 34, let's stand as we read the scriptures together. Psalm 34. We'll begin our reading in verse 1. The scripture says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I'd like to speak tonight on the subject, don't forget the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace, Lord, and the strength you have given to each of us through this day. We thank you for this Lord's Day, that we're able to be in this place with your people, to be able to enjoy the fellowship and the singing together, the teaching, preaching of thy word, to be able to look into the scriptures together. And God, we just ask that you continue to bless it. Thank you for everyone who's here. And we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would guide us into thy word. And Lord, in each life, that you would meet the needs that are represented in this room through the word of God. Do your work tonight, Lord. And I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to flow through us. Thank you for the power we have of the Spirit. And may all that is done tonight be done in demonstration and power of your Spirit, please. And speak to us. We ask for thy help, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Don't forget the Lord. All of us have a tendency, every one of us, to forget things. And I'm a very forgetful person, and I try not to be. I don't do it purposely, but I forget things. I have to write things down. I find myself hollering out in the room, "Hey Siri," a lot of times. Anybody else do that here? Okay, good. And my wife will ask me about something, and I'll say, "Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that tomorrow." And she'll say, "Well, how are you going to remember that?" I don't like that statement, that question. How are you going to remember that? And I'll say, "Hey Siri," and that'll take care of it. And I'll get the reminder tomorrow. But a lot of times I'll see Siri, and I won't see Siri. Nobody's seen Siri. We don't know who that is. But I'll see the notification come up, and I'll even put that off at times. Okay, I'll get that later today, and end up forgetting the very thing that I had noted myself to do. Forgetfulness is a part of who we are. I try to remember names. And I try to remember names as you come by and you introduce yourself. So forgive me on that. I'm not great at that. I've tried different plans of trying to remember names of people. But when it comes time to remembering the name, I forget what the plan was. And so it's just a vicious cycle of trying to remember things over and over and over again. But I want to look in the scripture tonight as we see the psalm, Psalm 34. And we would often maybe think as we read through, and basically the title that I've given to tonight is Don't Forget the Lord. And where would we find that in this psalm? And it's simply understanding when the psalm was written, the place it was written. Of course, it was written by David, but the circumstances surrounding David's writing the psalm. And I want to go back to the Old Testament a little bit in 1 Samuel. We'll turn there. If you go back, first of all, we'll go back to chapter 17. Let's go back there for just a moment. 1 Samuel 17. And let's look a little bit of the history leading up to this psalm that David wrote. In your Bibles, it may already say at the top of the psalm that it was written in a cave, and it was. And it was written right after a circumstance that had taken place in David's life. But leading up to that, of course, is to give you a little bit of a history with David. I love the life of David. And looking in, we went through his whole life in our Sunday school at church and going through every single phase of his life and the stories behind it. And you can learn a great deal from studying the life of David. And you understand something that David was just an ordinary human being, and he was just like us and had failures, but a great man of great power, great courage. We see in our scripture tonight, and we see the background of it. We see also the side of David that he was also had weaknesses, and even in times that he had distrust, and even in times he had lack of faith, and we would even maybe call it a lapse of faith in his life regarding his trust and dependence upon the Lord. And as we see in chapter 17, just a little bit of a history, we see David at this point in his life, of course, as he comes before King Saul, and there's a giant. His name's Goliath. But again, leading up even up to that point, we have David who comes on the scene after Saul loses the kingdom because of his disobedience, and Saul taking things into his own hand, and Samuel judging him for that, and the kingdom going out of, completely out of Saul's future, and even for his son Jonathan, and God taking and ridding him of the kingdom. David, just a young man, the shepherd boy, we call him. And he's called in, and Samuel anoints him to be the next king. It's an amazing thing, because after he's anointed king of Israel, David then turns and he goes out, back out to the field, back out to the mountain, wherever it was, to tend to those sheep again. Think of it, a king, anointed king, future king, but now he's just back out doing what he had always done. But he went from the pasture, and he ended up in the palace. And how God brought that all to pass, and how God worked in that to bring him into the place to where he's now before the king, and Saul having the troubled spirit and needing somebody to play a harp, somebody to calm him down. And David's chosen. Someone mentions him. He comes into the kingdom, and now he's playing the harp. So he goes from the pasture into the kingdom and to the palace to where Saul was, and God's preparing him. God's bringing him into where he had just anointed him, and God's working everything out in such a beautiful way. He goes from being shepherd to now servant of the king. And David now, of course, is finding Goliath, and he comes before Saul and makes the statement, of course, to his brothers, is there not a cause? Are we going to let this guy just curse the God of Israel and say all of these things? Somebody needs to do something. Is there not a cause here? And he comes before King Saul, and in verse 37 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we find David speaking to Saul, and these are the words that David says to him. And of course, we know that Saul gave him his armor. It was too big. David refuses it. But he says in verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Boy, we see a man of courage, don't we? Bravery. Strong, not in himself, but strong in the Lord. Understanding, notice he says, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me from the lion, the bear, and I know the Lord will deliver me and deliver Israel from this giant. And he goes. He slays Goliath. God wrought a great victory that day through a young man, through his courage, and through his trust in the Lord. He goes to Goliath and cuts his head off. And we find at the close of chapter 17, if you look down with me, it says in verse 54, look at it. We're just going to go through some verses here before we get into the main part. It says in verse 54, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it into Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before King Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. What a picture this is. David is here and he's defeated Goliath. He's cut his head off. And he has the head of Goliath in his hand. And he comes and he stands before King Saul. Boy, he had really made all of them look bad this day. And he's got the head of Saul, of Goliath, in his hand. And Jonathan's there, we find in the rest of chapter 18. Jonathan is there, and he's in this whole setting, in this scene. So you have David with the head of Goliath in his hand. Saul's on the throne. Jonathan is there in the presence. And this whole scene unravels. And you find all different types of emotions in this scene. Saul is here, and he has had the kingdom completely stripped of him, of anything future. Jonathan would be the one to be the next king. But the Bible says here in chapter 18, verse 1, it came to pass when he made it into speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And we know later as they would come in from battle and they would cry out, David has slain his 10,000s and Saul his thousands. And the heart of Saul became very enraged against David. I believe at this point in this scene, we have different people going in different directions emotionally. Saul was a man that was not able to accept the consequence of his own choices. He was not able to accept his own choices of what he had made and what God had brought into his life as a result of it. And now he's dealing with it in a way, not bringing it to the Lord, but he's dealing it with a way that he's going to take all of his rage and all of his jealousy and all of his envy out upon David. When of his own doing, his own choices, God has brought all this to pass. Jonathan, on the other hand, think of it, he could have been king. And because of somebody else's choice, now Jonathan's life, his own future is altered. But Jonathan, we find all throughout Scripture, of course, knew and he understood God's plan. Somehow, some way, he was able to accept that. Saul became enraged, jealous, and from that point became the enemy of David. And we find over in chapter 19... chapter 20, as Saul begins, this jealousy just rages within him. And may I remind you tonight, there's consequences for our choices, aren't there? Every choice we make, there's a consequence for it. And all through life, and may I remind you also, you may be reaping things from even other people's choices. I feel for our young people today, and choices of parents will affect the young people. And sometimes young people will have a difficult time just accepting what life is for them and how God can take that thing in their life and that circumstances and how it is in their life. And they could look at other situations. Why can't my life be like that? And why can't I have a family like that? Why can't I have something that they have? And here I am with what I have. And being able to accept what God has given in their life and allowed into their lives. Jonathan was able to do it. Saul could not. He became an enemy of David. David began to run and began to be fearful. We come to chapter 21. After David understanding, Jonathan realizes that Saul is set on killing David. And he tells David to run, and David does run. But in chapter 21, we see something completely different. We see David in a different light, really. From 21, 22, and until we come to chapter 23, we just see David in a different way. We don't see this young man who's before Saul saying, "Let me take Goliath. The Lord delivered me from the lion, the Lord delivered me from the bear, and I know God will deliver me from this." We see a whole different side of David here, emotionally, mentally, and the way that he's trying to navigate through his life. Because from 21, 22, we never see David really seeking the Lord. And in chapter 21, David begins to run with fear. Fear. Let me tell you, fear can devastate you. It can make us make wrong choices. It can lead us down wrong paths. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the things that are taking place in our own lives. Fear of the circumstances that come into our life. We all make different choices based on the things and the events that come into our life. And if we're not seeking the Lord, we will make some wrong choices. And David, we find an example right here in the Scriptures. He begins to run. He runs to Ahimelech for fear of Saul. He comes and he seeks for bread and food, and then, of course, to take the sword of Goliath. And then we find this man who was a servant of the chiefest herdman of Saul. His name was Doeg, was right there in the presence. David saw him. Later he says, "I knew Doeg would do something." And in verse 10, look at it, going to verse 21. "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, 'Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands?'" And in verse 12, I truly believe God began to work in David's heart. And it says, "David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And in verse 13, he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. And then said Achish unto his servants, 'Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of mad men that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" And then verse 1 of 22, "And David departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." This is the point we find Psalm 34. God working in a man that was running because he was fearful of men, of Saul. Then he became fearful of Achish because he was just running in his own thinking, his own way. Fear was dominating everything he did. We live in a time today when fear is prevalent, isn't it? We can fear of things that are, there are plenty of things to fear about. We fear for our own safety at times. We fear for what's ahead in the future. You can be fearful of your job. You can be fearful of even taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Fearful of the circumstances that are taking place, and we have to make choices and decisions based on the presence and the reality of the fears. Oh, we need to be a people of God who will not be like David, because what David did cost him greatly. It not only cost him greatly emotionally, physically, the consequences, but it cost others greatly. If you look in chapter 22 and go over to verse 17, look at it with me. After David departs and goes to the cave, and then Saul goes after David and searches after him. And we find that, of course, as Saul comes to Ahimelech, and after Doeg said, "Hey, David's been to the priest. He's been there. Let's go there." That's where he was at. And look at the hasty response of Saul in verse 14. Ahimelech answered the king, verse 14, first of all, and said, "Who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding and is honorable in thine house? that I then begin to inquire of God for him, and be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor at all to the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of this, of all this, less or more. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. They knew better. Saul was acting in haste, acting in his own rage and jealousy. And in verse 18, the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons, 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. You see so many choices being made as a result of jealousy, rage. David's making choices out of fear. And as a result, consequences. Consequences. And in verse 22, David understands what had happened, and he says at the close of verse 22, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. And then chapter 23, verse 2, real quickly, look what it says. Therefore David inquired of the Lord. It's interesting when God, what God has to bring us to make us realize that he is all we need. All we need is the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. I ask you this tonight. When was the last time that you inquired means to seek the Lord, to ask the Lord, to request of the Lord? When was the last time that you genuinely came to the Lord and said, Lord, I need your help with this. I need direction with this. And I truly, truly want you to show me what to do. Young people, I want to encourage you tonight. I was 15 years old when I gave my life to Christ. Not salvation, but when I surrendered my life to the Lord. And said, Lord, it's your life, not mine. Would you take it and use it for you? Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. 2 months later, I surrendered to preach. And that same year, my dad had me preaching in the pulpit. And so I've been preaching for almost 30 years. But it was our one-year anniversary of a church my dad had started in Pennsylvania. And I remember praying, I think it was about 10 minutes long. You wish it would be that long tonight, but it's not going to be that long. But I gave my life completely to the Lord, entirely. It's, Lord, it's yours. I knew I was saved, but I wanted to live for him. Young people, if you inquired of the Lord tonight, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? And whatever you want to do with my life, that's what I want. May we be a people, God's people, that inquire of him. Fear can dictate, dominate us. Distrust in the Lord, circumstances, can truly mess with our minds. May God help us to not forget the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 34, if you would go back there with me. Psalm 34. I believe David forgot some things. And as we read Psalm 34, I believe he brings them out in Psalm 34 to remind us, but also it was a reminder to him. He's in the cave. He's on the run. Later after that, 85 priests of the Lord would be killed. The consequences are great and severe. And David's in this cave. And I believe God brought some reminders back to him. Notice what the psalm says. Let's read it once again, just quickly, the beginning. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. He says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In that moment of fear, in that moment of running for his life, forgetting that God had promised him the kingdom, forgetting that Jonathan had even reminded him. Jonathan had reminded David, Saul's not going to kill you. The kingdom is yours. It is yours. God has brought all this to pass. It will take place. It will happen, having the promises of God. But there's something that David forgot, that God was the source of everything in his life. He was the source of everything. Look at it. We find the word, three-letter word, all. All is mentioned throughout. Oh, bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Verse 4, I sought the Lord. He delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In that hour of need of your life, in our hour of need, may the Lord help us to turn to the Lord and understand and not forget He is the source of everything. Everything I need, all the power that I need, all the strength that I need, all the substance that I need, He is the source of it all. We can live life for ourselves, but never forgetting He is the source of everything. When we set out, my wife and I, we had to learn a lot of patience through it. After 2019, we began planning how the Lord was going to work everything out for us so that we could go from here to Nicaragua, and how all that was going to happen. Didn't have a clue. We had our children, had our church, and how it was all going to plan out. But we certainly left that with the Lord, and God miraculously worked it all out. And then as we come toward spring this year in 2020 and set out in January, we begin to tell our people what God had laid on our hearts and what we were planning to do. And we spent the last 2 weeks of January visiting every single one of our people one by one in their homes and sharing what we felt that God had called us to do. And setting out, putting a pastor in place, had him voted in, it was all ready to go. And then COVID comes. The virus hits. And everything shuts down. And I'm just hanging on for May, because May 1st, the first Sunday of May, was our first meeting, and it was going to be here. And Brother Fielder just shut it all down. It's all his fault, you know? Just shut it down. Yeah. And we look forward to that day, look forward to May. This is all going to start in May, and it's all going to happen, and we're all excited, and then just all of this has to happen. You know, all kinds of things go through your mind. All kinds of things. You know, especially when pastors, you say, well, we started deputation in May, and boy, you picked a great time to go on deputation. You know, like I'm stupid or something, you know. I didn't plan this, all right? But I want to tell you, and I share and give the Lord all the glory. God has been so good to us. Our first Sunday of May was canceled. It was here. And y'all are in a very difficult county. But all of our meetings that God had given to us at the beginning of the year, not one of them has been canceled. And God has kept the doors in all those churches open. And this is our 29th church to be in since May. And God has given us opportunity in Indiana, Ohio, Colorado. Was going to go to Canada, but the borders got extended, but God kept us there. And we were able to be in 10 different churches in Colorado and had 7 opportunities to preach. And God has been very gracious to us, given us support all along the way, or between 20 and 25% of our support. God's been good. You can go through times like that and you can question. Fear can set in. Oh boy, I did pick a bad time. And I'm glad my wife didn't question me. That was great. Or I probably would have went in the cave like David did, you know. But may the Lord help us to understand the Lord is the source of everything. Everything. David forgot that, I believe. Secondly, not only did David forget that the Lord was the source of it all, but he had forgotten truly, very simply put, he had forgot to seek the Lord. He had forgot to seek the Lord. To come to the Lord, as we find in chapter 23, that David inquired of the Lord. You go back 2-3 chapters, you don't find that. And there's a lot of things that David went through, and the whole thing with Jonathan and being sent away and running and going to Ahimelech and then going down to Achish. Not one time do you find David, Lord, should I go here? Should I go there? No, it's fear, it's distrust, it's the circumstances that's dictating every choice he made. And as a result of it, it were wrong choices. And as a result of the wrong choices, there was consequences for it. Oh, may we seek the Lord David says in the psalm we read, I read it to you a moment ago, verse 4, he sought the Lord, he delivered him from all of his fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried. That's what he labeled himself as in this cave, and all the choices I have made, and here I am in this cave, and I've embarrassed myself to the king of Achish. I've acted like a madman, and I've ruined my testimony to Ahimelech. As a result of that, 85 priests have been killed. Oh, Lord, and this poor man, David said, this poor man cried. The scripture says that the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Aren't you glad the Lord is gracious to us? I've made a lot of foolish choices, a lot of foolish mistakes. The devil tries to make us think that you've made the big one. And there's no redeeming, there's no going back. You can't make up for all of that. Well, the truth is, you can't. But we have a great God in heaven, a very forgiving God, a very gracious, compassionate Savior. And if you're saved tonight and you're here and maybe you've made some wrong choices, whatever it may have been, fear, could have been just you weren't seeking the Lord, got away from the Lord. We all go down those paths. I want to strongly encourage you tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God work in your heart. Would you seek the Lord tonight? He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you. David's in the cave. He has nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. He's made a fool of himself, lost his testimony, consequences for his choices, but he sought the Lord. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. We also find in verse 10, look at it. It says, the young lions you lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. May we seek the Lord, no matter what the pressures come into our life, because there will be pressure. There always is. May we be able to handle those pressures by seeking the Lord and making that the priority of all that we do. Thirdly, I want you to look at the passage in verse 9. Look at verse 9, what David says. Oh, fear the Lord, O ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. Verse 10, or verse 11, let's skip down there. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I'd like for you to go back to the New Testament, if you would, to 1 Peter. Would you turn there with me? 1 Peter. Peter repeats this passage in this epistle. Peter is writing to a group of people who he refers to as a fiery trial of their faith. He's writing to a people who are scattered as a result of persecution. If they had fears, they certainly had it. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you look at it with me, Peter, this passage is restated, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But look what it says in verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, 1 Peter chapter 3, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Verse 10, here we find the verses. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And notice how Peter uses this, because he continues, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15, here is what David forgot. And in this Psalm 34, as he uses this term of the fear of the Lord. And we don't find it here as Peter mentions that term, the fear of the Lord. But this is truly what the fear of the Lord is. We find it described and defined for us in the passage. But look what it says in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now the scripture says, as Jesus prayed for us in John 17, he prays, sanctify them through that truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means to be made holy, means to be made set apart. But here is Peter uses this passage from David of the fear of the Lord and what it means and loving life, see good days, depart from evil, and seek good. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart in your heart. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is King tonight. He is King of my life. He is King of your life. He wants to be ruling and reigning in everything that you do. Is he on the throne of your heart? Is he on the throne of my heart? And when we sanctify him, also sanctify means to sever. That means we sever everything else away from our lives to make him the king, the ruler, the one who leads. He's sanctified in our hearts. Oh, may I ask you tonight, is he sanctified in your heart? Is he sanctified in mine? This is what it means, not forgetting the Lord. He is the source of everything. Not forgetting to seek him. I sought the Lord, David says. I inquired of him. And then not forgetting to sanctify the Lord. There can be all kinds of things in our life that can come in and take over, and it be the very thing that leads our life. I mentioned this morning, for to me to live is Christ. What's in the blank? What's in the blank? For me to live is blank. I hope we make Christ. But what is it in our lives? Many times anything can fill that. It takes over and takes precedence in our life. It dominates us. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. One last verse. Turn to Matthew if you would. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 10. Look with me in verse 28, verse 26. The scripture says, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. When I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the earth, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's easy for some of you. Verse 31, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. May I encourage you tonight, we do not have to fear. We don't have to fear man. We don't have to fear government. We don't have to fear the oppression. May God be a people of God that fears the Lord. And if there's ever a day when God's people need the boldness of God and the boldness of Jesus Christ within us, it is today. That we may speak boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we may truly be able to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within us. And when Christ is sanctified in our hearts, then and only then are we able to have that boldness that we must have and we need to be able to speak of Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer. The Bible continuously tells us that. Be of good cheer all throughout the scripture. Matthew 9:2, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Jesus says, it is I. Be not afraid. John 16:31, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Acts 23:11, as Paul is on the ship and thinking all is lost and every life will be lost, he comes to the men that after having the appearance of the angel and says, be of good cheer, I believe God, and he shall be ever, and it shall be ever as he told me. Be of good cheer. I want to remind you tonight, I don't want you to forget, don't forget, the Lord is the source of everything for us. Don't forget to seek the Lord, and don't forget to sanctify him in your hearts. Let's learn from David, and let's learn also something with David that later in the New Testament, what does the scripture say about him? He was a man after God's own heart. There's hope for every one of us. May we seek Him. May we sanctify Him in our hearts. Don't forget. Remember this, the battle is already won. The battle's already won. Don't forget, there's work to be done. Don't forget, Jesus is coming soon. Don't forget that it may come to the point we may have to lay down our life for Christ. Don't forget this. As the statement that Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain," we are in a win-win situation. And don't forget, the devil loses. He's already lost. His future's already determined. And one day he and his demons will be in hell forever. We are on the winning side. And I'm grateful for that. May we not forget the Lord. You may find yourself in that cave tonight. I want to strongly encourage you, seek the Lord. Remember, He is the source of everything that you need. You don't need to fear. You don't need to fear. He's the source of everything. Sanctify Him. Sever all of it. Sever all of it. Young people tonight, would you just come to the Lord and say, I want everything severed from my life. I don't want anything to dominate. Whatever God gives for me, whatever His plans for me, that's what I want for my life. And every one of us in this room tonight, God has a plan for all. From this day forward, God has a plan. May it solely be what Christ wants for us. And may we live our lives for Him, for His purpose. Let's not forget the Lord. Would you bow your head with me? Our Father, thank You that You are truly the source of everything. God, forgive us of trusting in many things that to no avail. We take matters into our own hands. We make choices on our own and that are only to our own detriment. May we never forget You. Even the children of Israel forgot You after You'd given them every single thing there was. And they did nothing to get it, yet You had to remind them, "Don't forget Me." And I pray tonight, Lord, that You'd help all of us that know Jesus as our Savior and that we have been given life and eternal life, that we would live this life for His sake, not forgetting He is the source, and to seek Him and to sanctify Him. If there be one here tonight that does not know You as their Savior, is lost, may have come into this room and does not know where they'll spend eternity, may tonight be the night of salvation. Speak to hearts, please. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. With your head bowed.